Hello, freaks, and welcome to Radical Research. This is episode 112. We are champing at the bit to get to Hail Spirit Noir. I am here with Hunter Ginn, who needs no introduction, but introduce thyself so we can get on with this thing.
Good evening, everyone.
You have nothing better than that.
I am Hunter Ginn. I am Jeff Wagner's co-host, and I, too, am champing at the bit to get into some cryptic, fucked up, and buried Greek black metal.
Ooh, okay. Well, I've asked too much. Amazing.
You know what, Jeff?
Yeah.
Ask and thou shall receive.
Right, saith the Lord. Okay. So saith the Lord, right. Thanks to Eric Lynch, Alan Coulson, and Forrest Pitts for their donations this time around. Neither one of them for the first time. So these repeat offenders are just fine with us, man. I asked Forrest if I could talk about his donation for a second before we dive in. And thanks again, Eric and Alan, both sterling individuals. But Forrest wrote to us.
I'll be seeing Alan here on Saturday, too.
You're doing a show with them with Heavy Metallurgy?
I am.
So you're doing Heavy Metallurgy with Alan and, of course, Marty Rickonen, right?
Yeah. Alan seduced me into this by asking me if I'd like to spend a few hours talking about the metal of 1993.
All right.
You know, it's all spots.
He knew who to go to, for sure. Since that's video, I don't know if you still have that 1993 shirt I made for you, but if you have it, you should wear it. Could you do me that solid?
Yeah. Let me dig around the old Chester drawers.
Anyway, so Forrest Pitts, I look forward to hearing your thoughts on Heavy Metallurgy, a great podcast, video podcast that Marty Rickonen and Alan Coulson do. And no, Alan's not paying for a plug. We just love those guys and love what they do. So Forrest Pitts, one of our favorite human beings for sure, wrote to us about his donation amount of $50, and he okayed me to quote him verbatim. So here we go, quote, "Camouflage within this donation is a reference that would, like as not, appear wildly oblique to the eyes of a stranger, but I'm sure that you guys spotted it immediately. What letter represents the number 50 in Latin? That's right. And what legacy metal act composed the 1987 hit Eyes of a Stranger? Exactly. Ergo, this donation is a clever reference to the one and only Lizzie Borden." So that's a pretty airtight little cryptogram there for you. Honestly, this was the best justification that I could come up with for the amount I wanted to fork over, and it took me at least 10 agonizing minutes to put together. I'd be a terrible spin doctor. Wait a minute, the Spin Doctors, who just happened to have a song on their hit 1991 LP Pocket Full of Kryptonite called You Got It, 40 or 50. That's way better. We'll go with that one. The doctor is in, motherfuckers.
God. Dude, there's almost an entire universe trapped inside of that one man's brain.
No question.
I have never encountered someone who awes me quite the way that Forrest Pitts does.
I need to
keep his emails, just casual text me. Yes. I have plenty.
I was going to say, we need to keep and log these so that at some point we can compile them in his honor. Yeah. Thanks again for the $50. We're, you know, and if he wants to send another 50 and riff again, we're happy to have him riff.
I think we should pay him.
Oh yeah, it's starting to feel that way for sure. I think he's also stoked about Hail Spirit Noir, the band we're going to cover. But before we do, I want to mention that you can donate to our cause, see the show notes for this or any episode, and click on the PayPal me link. Okay, so this episode, we're naming this episode We Mean You Harm, after a suggestion by Thomas Null, who was playing on one of the band songs I Mean You Harm. Thanks, Thomas. I suggested this one not too long ago. It wasn't in our long-term plans, Hunter. And then you eagerly jumped on top of it.
Yes. Yeah, very much so. I know and love two of their albums and somehow missed out. I guess I didn't miss out on the first one. It just kind of rolled by me.
Yeah.
But I missed out on the Mayhem in Blue. Somehow. I'm not really sure, because I love Roy McGoy and absolutely adore Eden in Reverse. Did not know them during the Numa phase.
I'd heard of them, but I was puzzling while putting together some of these snippets how I got into them. It was through a strong recommendation. I want to say Brian Grabenz and Oy Magoy, or however we say that, Imagi, Oy Magoy. It's in the title track in terms of the pronunciation. Anyhow, we're going to slaughter a lot of language tonight, people.
I'm going to go for Oy Magoy.
Oy
That's,
Magoy.
well, let me tell you something. I used Max Cavalera's pronunciation of apocalyptic in a oratorical contest speech one time and said apocalyptic. So I'm just going to go my own way here and say Oy Magoy.
Okay. I think it's noted in the title track. I think what I'll do is play a snippet here to see if you're right. Yeah, Pneuma is something I picked up after I got into them, and whoever got me into them, Brian Grabenz or whoever, thank you. I wish I could remember, but I did pick up that second album first. We're going to go back to Pneuma and listen to bits of a track called Mountain of Horror. This is where we start in 2012. To our knowledge, no demo material before that, although the main members of this band did have quite a history before Hail Spirit Noir. We'll get into all that after a little bit of Mountain of Horror.
Dark and its color,
what do you think of that hot noise?
I think, how exactly did that pass us by back in 2012? Boy, you talk about some radical research fodder in every possible way.
Dude, I know. Yeah, that's again, this is something we've kind of veered back toward the last few episodes and last few months or even year. We got to keep paying attention to what's out there now because we just never know. I mean, yes. The ratio is so vastly different than what you and I enjoyed and valued out of 91, 93, all these classic years. But there are things out there every year that are pretty amazing in the metal world. And this is one of them in 2012 that we were completely oblivious to.
And it's not like we had blinders on then. I mean, I remember albums in 2012 that we loved.
Sure.
But yeah, got to keep our ears to the ground.
Thoughts on Mountain of Horror, real quick. What
Incredible
would,
bass playing.
yeah.
One of the things that I love about Hail Spirit Noir, and also just a lot of Greek metal in general, is like an organic kind of rock and classic metal underpinning. One of the things about this, I remember this is like the first time that you and I listened to Minas Tirith from Norway.
Yeah.
Like it just sound, and even though there's a this lineup's a little disjointed because it's a session drummer, but it sounds like a band that just loves playing with each other. It sounds like a like a hot-blooded in the room live recorded band.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and through every one of their recordings, maybe Mannequins will be a postscript to that or an exception to that. But yeah, the four main albums for sure carry that, despite the their move into more electronic stuff. It's always very earthy, texturally. It just you can touch it. It's got a feel. I want to mention before we move on that the three main catalysts that form the core of Hail Spirit Noir used to play in this band called Transcending Bizarre, and that's bizarre with a question mark. I guess we have to say Transcending Bizarre.
Bizarre therapy.
Therapy? Yeah.
Oh,
Why would you? Yeah. We have a problem with ending your name with a question mark. I don't even like the exclamation
would I
mark.
have a problem with just formatting? Never, like, never mind, like throwing in some weird punctuation mark.
We do. We're real format fascists, aren't
Yeah, we are
we?
format. You know that, and if we ever start another podcast, format fascists.
Yes. Anyway, Transcending Bizarre, I'd heard the name before this, just through the stream somehow. That was a name I sounded kind of familiar to me, but and I knew they were Greek. I didn't listen to them
Have
until.
you heard it in passing?
So I checked them out while I was making snippets for this episode, and they're pretty good. They're not great, but they are. And they're definitely not as focused as Hail Spirit Noir, but they are a super interesting precursor to Hail Spirit Noir. And that's all to say that this band consists of three main dudes: Theo Harris on guitar and vocals, Harris on keyboards, and Dim on bass. Yeah, and these three guys, and even Theo Harris, the guitarist, his vocals aren't the lead ones. They've always used a guest session musician throughout pretty much all their albums. A guy named Dimitrakopoulos doing the clean vocals. He's become more and more prominent as the albums go on, and then session drummer or drummers. So it's interesting that they a lot of what makes them interesting are session guys as well as the main core, right? I mean, because the drumming and the vocals in Hail Spirit Noir are always pretty astoundingly awesome.
And but they sound so integrated. Like it, they
Yep.
don't sound like session guys at
That's
all.
it. Yeah, I was surprised to learn that in their history after I got into a couple albums. I guess after Mayhem and Blue, I realized what was happening. Yeah, it was a little surprising because it is very unified sounding. They might as well be full members because they just contribute this, yeah, seamlessly contribute to the whole. It's pretty great. I just wonder if like Transcending Bizarre just might as well be considered a name change. Like if you look it up on Metal Archives, rather than a different band, because they stopped recording in 2010 or releasing in 2010, and then Hail Spirit Noir began up in 2010 and released Pneuma in 2012. So it's a complete continuation of that.
That's a good point.
Let's move on to another track from Pneuma. This is parts of the lengthy Into the Gates of Time. This is the longest song on this 6-song album, 13 minutes and 21 seconds. This is two moments from that to show you the depth and the early pure prog leaning, really, in this remarkable song, Into the Gates of Time.
Uriah Heep and Verathon had a baby. I
Which,
mean,
you know, which, and look at the album cover. It kind of looks like Uriah Heep.
it's like epic proggy hard rock, and but like you know with Satan, it's
Yeah.
just a bit of Satan.
Just hanging out.
Yeah. Hey, buddy. What's going
Yeah,
on?
that's a
Hey,
great
look, I'm just here for the ride.
it's
Yeah.
a great observation, man.
I am literally on the verge of self-flagellation over the way that I have ignored this album.
Do you know what you can do? You can go right now to discogs.com and I'm sure find a CD copy for probably around $12 to $15. I think very much worth it, $12 to $15.
Know what you could do.
You know what you can do? Yeah, don't self-flagellate. I mean, if you prefer that over paying the 12 or plus shipping,
I mean, Jeff, can I not have both?
one can have one's cake and eat it too. I think that's what we're learning here.
You can open up your flesh and buy Numa.
Albert Fish would have done it. Well, we move on to their second album. This was a jump up, although I didn't know it at the time because it was my introduction. In every way, they just, boy, for lack of a much better word, they just got artier. And I don't like to use that because it's very catch-all, but I think you know what I mean, right? They got their rock element came in a little more. There's a song on this album that I actually don't love, and it's Demon for a Day, the second one. It's a little bit too much like later Danzig than the awesome early Danzig influence I think we hear throughout the album.
I need like okay, so you bring up Danzig. This is always kind of a sticking point with me, because I pretty much think that for the most part, the first four Danzig records are like, you know, without blemish,
This is something you and I completely agree on, by the way.
except Bodies.
Oh, you don't like Bodies?
Dude,
Don't
stupid.
die. Bodies. Dude, I
Vocals on
love
that
Bodies. I can't
atrocious.
believe you don't like. Really? I didn't know this about
I
you.
hate Bodies.
I didn't know this about you.
I hate that song.
This changes everything.
Fuck it. We're over. All right. See you. Yeah. See you in hell, people.
But let me try to get your point. Are you saying that you hear Bodies inside of Demon for a Day, the song that I just
Little
decided?
bit.
I hear a similar swagger, but to me, that's like sort of the general
It's
Danzig
not like
swagger.
a, like, to me, it's. To me, Bodies go so far beyond the swagger. Like I do, I can't stand that song.
Okay, okay. This is a tangent we're going to take just because we have to. So you're telling me that you prefer, what is it, Sistina? That really like Rydell High School dance,
Yep.
Hawkins dance song over Bodies.
Yep, absolutely.
Because that song on, I don't think I'm titling it right. Am I right, Sistina? Or you know the ballad I'm talking
Yeah, I know
about,
what you're talking about. I
Sistina,
get it.
right? It took me a long time to get into that one. And that's the one I always pointed out as like the one blemish. Now that I like it, I have no blemish amidst the first four Danzig albums. I
Man,
think the first.
Bodies is like, I can't believe that somebody in that studio was like, Glenn, you took it a little too far on that one.
Interesting. Okay. Wow.
And it's all Glenn. He just goes too far. In my opinion, obviously.
Sure. This is a little bit shocking, but I think our friendship will endure. I think the best way to do that will be to just move on and listen to something from this out the second album, Old
Think
Missouri.
that me and you and Nathan need to have a conversation soon. I think maybe you need to get someone that's on your side.
Okay, so he's a Bodies man.
He is not a Bodies man.
He's not a Bodies man. Okay, interesting.
Nathan feels the same way that I do.
I'm tiring of this conversation. So early 2014, this album comes out. It was recorded throughout 2013 in various parts of Greece. And here we go. We're going to sample a little bit from the opening track, Blood Guru.
This just scratches all the itches.
Yeah, one of those, right?
Yeah, man. Like, it's one of those weird episodes where I feel like I'm falling back in love with the band.
It's
And you and I, like, I remember when this record came out, and well, you turned me on to it. And I don't, I maybe it was Brian or I don't know who, but I came to visit you in April of that year, I believe.
Yep.
And you were like, I'm just gonna send you this and listen to it before you come. And I totally fell in love with it.
It is most excellent. It's got a looseness to it that Numa only hinted at. Numa definitely has it, but throughout this whole album, there's this kind of looseness, like a confident looseness, where they're not loose because they don't
Oh, it's a no,
understand how to be.
it's a relaxation.
Yeah, but it's also commanding in the sense of like they know what they're doing. It's not loose because
Exactly.
they lack ability. But I really like that paired with the sinister, occultish, dark, just plain weird. Look at the album cover. You know, there's something here that is primal and tribal. It is progressive for sure. It's 70s for sure. You know, these guys have shit tons of like Gatefold Prog LPs in their collection. It just reeks of that. And what I want to do is put together bits from two of my favorites from this album, Satan Is Time and the fifth song, The Mermaid, which happens to be the longest one, 11:28. Of course, we're not going to hear near enough of that. But we're going to put these two together and just
You're
exalt.
right, man. These guys, like, they worship the past and all that, but like they sound, it's like Wobbler or Witchcraft,
Yes.
the best bands that do mine from the past in a very conspicuous way, but like sound totally current and relevant.
Although I would say, and you know I love some Wobbler, you know I love some Witchcraft, I would say Hill Spirit Noir are quite a bit more modern than those two
Okay, yeah,
bands.
fair enough, fair enough.
Yeah,
I'm thinking
but
about like, well,
it's
I'm thinking about like Legend,
sure. Yeah. That's
Timber
and
Wobbler, but you're right. Well, and there's also the presence of other influences in Hell Spirit
I
Noir.
th I think that's it. I'm not even negating your point because your point is dead on. They are more aligned with that sort of thing. The love of decades ago of
Yeah.
music.
But with Hell Spirit Noir, you've also got, Merciful Fate, you've got Rotting Christ,
As you
you know.
said, Necromantia. You know, there's all kinds of, or
Or
Verathron. You said Verathron,
I said Verathron, but Zemiel too, like
yeah.
God.
Yeah, this is a bit of Satan Is Time and the Mermaid.
I'm gonna sound like I'm throwing a little bit of shade here. Did John Cobbett write those last two songs?
I do think there's a lot of links and probably a lot of shared influences.
Sense of melody. No, it clearly is, but that very, very unconventional mixture of pomp rock, 70s hard rock, prog, black metal, like, or it's coincidental.
It's like Verathon playing Magnum covers.
God, I would love that.
I know you. I would too.
Dude, that's the album I've been looking for. Verathon playing Kingdom of Madness.
Yeah, man. Let's do it. So, yeah, wonderful stuff. I don't know who's listening to this that likes what we do that isn't swiftly going to Discogs right now. Just get it. Just get it. So, and worth it too. This is a band that's fair to say and worth noting that I think they take care in packaging their albums. They're visually as interesting and arresting as the music itself. And that's always, you know, an excellent pairing when you get that. And that's a great segue to Mayhem and Blue, which has one of the best album covers.
It's an insane album cover.
I love,
love, love yeah. this album cover.
I've always wondered about it. It is credited to a certain photographer, a female whose name I don't have in my notes right now. I really should, but I think it's a female name. Anyhow, I still wondered if it was from some like old 70s horror movie or creepy, you know, underground flick. And so I emailed our great friend, Thomas Null, also known as Thomas Clark.
Who knows all of these things.
Yeah, I figured my partner in
Deserts of Hex, the second issue of which will be out very shortly. It's almost there.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. So Thomas Null, so I emailed him and I said, what is that from? He's familiar with this band. He gave us the great idea for We Mean You Harm is the title, but he could not identify it, although he came up with about four or five examples of bird beak like things from that era that I should check out film wise. So now I have like a longer list of films to check out. And I just got around to checking out Foxcatcher, something I've been wanting to see for about 8 years. So I'm so behind. It's just ridiculous. All that to say, Mayhem and Blue by Hail Spirit Noir, their third album, just has this really great album cover. These like hooded, beaked, blackbird, crow type looking humanoids that surface onto the beach to ring a death, what looks like a death bell.
Oh, it almost looks like kind of medieval plague doctors too.
Yes, yes.
Surfaced on the beach and, hey, we're here and we are here to take you.
Right, because they did have those long beakish things for a very practical reason, but yes. And of course, the album is great. I don't know. I guess this was my favorite one when it came out, and then Eden in Reverse just took it, and that was my favorite. But I feel like this band truly gets better and better and better until we hit Mannequins, which is a different sort of album, and we'll get to that briefly at the end. But let's listen to a bit from the title track, Mayhem in Blue.
Thank you. it's like revisiting the Nidralog episode. Yeah,
Whoa.
kind of haunted, just weird Prague.
Yeah.
That's how
That,
this feels to me.
yeah, that's the thing. Like, there's so many bands that I think starting around 2010-ish into the teens started to say, oh, we're super inspired by Prague. And then you listen and you're not convinced that they've taken to the lessons very well, I guess is my way to say it. And I feel like Hellspirit Noir are well versed. Like they don't care if they're a metal band or a black metal band or even a prog band, but
Right.
they've done so much listening and so much delving and certainly working out on their own instruments and their own vision
Now they just
to
mixed it
come up
all
with this
together.
stuff, to come up with this. I mean, they're so comfortable by the third album. Like, and I think this title track underscores that completely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now they're very, very confident at this point.
Let's listen to a little bit of Lost in Satan's Charms, and I can't wait to get more of your opinions on the Mayhem and Blue stuff, just simply because this is one that passed you by. So Hunter, I had instructed you to bring us out after that, but I have breaking news. Just yesterday, breaking news in Radical Research Land, which this will take a few days to come out, so then it won't be anything at all. But when I made these snippets a couple weeks ago, and it was a while back that we had planned this episode and I got you all the snippets. They had nothing on the horizon, or at least news of it, that I could find anywhere on another album, because it had been a while since Eden in Reverse. It's been since 2020, so it's been 4 years. So as I was making the snippets, I wrote notes to at the end of this episode to say, oh, they still haven't made anything beyond Mannequins from 2021, which wasn't even a real album per se. Wonder what they're doing. Well, yesterday, Metal Archives just added their new album that's due in June,
Oh.
which is, yeah, I know, right? Which is called Fossil Gardens. Look it up. It has an amazing cover. It's got seven songs, same lineup, basically. I think a new drummer, but Dimitri, thankfully, is singing on it again. And it looks, yeah, I'm excited for this. I've been disappointed by a lot of albums this year. So I look forward to this one and hoping that'll reverse that trend. But let's get back to Lost in Satan's Charms and what you hear there, Hunter.
Well, you mentioned Anathema.
Oh, yeah.
Here, a lot of Kargaros era root.
Ooh. you're not getting a lot of people talking about Cargo's Era Root every day. So you're right on.
But I do. Like, it just got that like trapped under a waterfall, epic, obscure cult metal vibe.
Yeah. It's Cargaris has blown me away. That's a really good comparison to Lost in Satan's Charms, no question.
It's all about the water.
It is all about, dude, water references in metal. I'll take them any day. Speaking of water, the Cannibal Tribe came from the sea. This is not only the third Mayhem and Blue snippet we're going to listen to, but that evokes the album cover. The Cannibal Tribes came from the sea. I could see those beaked figures being cannibals.
Yes.
They look like a tribe, and they are certainly literally coming from the sea. Let's give an ear to this one. Hunter, what saith you about the cannibals, human animals?
To respond to you, Beyond Dawn much?
Yeah, while we were listening, I mentioned Beyond Dawn. There's something that comes in that sounds like the trombone in Beyond Dawn, Pity Love era maybe. Drumming a little bit too fast and precise for what they were doing at that time, but otherwise that music sounded like Beyond Dawn. Did you hear that?
I do, and that's why we love this band so much. It's because I feel like they encapsulate so many of the things that we love.
Without being directly influenced by some of the things we've mentioned, I'll bet, again, I think it's a matter, like with Hammers, of probably shared influence rather than like being influenced by these bands that we're mentioning. Certainly could be fans of those, listeners of those, but I feel like it goes further back to the 70s for sure.
Oh, I do too. I do
yeah,
too. Yeah. And I'll be honest, like, until we started putting together this episode, I never thought about how 70s this band was. They clearly love the 70s.
But
It's
in a way,
probably like Sad Wings of Destiny, too.
yes,
You know.
yes. Early Scorpions, of course.
Yes.
Flight of the Rainbow, Lonesome Crow, certainly. Yeah, I mean, like in a way that's like less, I'm sure you remember 15 years ago when Witchcraft was in its prime, in one of their primes anyway. The other bands like Cadaver and Graveyard kind of coming out sounding very 70s, but a lot of them, and some of those that I mentioned, not Witchcraft, if I can be any more diplomatic and obvious, some of those were just like too obvious,
Yeah.
too on the nose.
Yeah.
And
Right.
where Hail Spirit Noir completely are contemporary, you can tell that, but I just feel like their love of the gatefold prog sleeves goes back all the way to where it should. And this is what I love about that band is that, yeah, there's a basis here in black metal, but they're no more or less black metal than Meads of Asphodel, for instance, who often get called a black metal band, but to me it's just one of the few things that they do.
Totally. An uncategorizable band.
Yeah, and all the better for it. Some bands like that sound like a total mess. This band has absolute direction and definition and personality. But yeah, so right. Let's move on to Eden in Reverse. This band had been pretty consistently releasing music. 2012, 2014, Mayhem in Blue was 2016. Took them 4 years to come up with Eden in Reverse, and when it did, I think the first time through, I was like, yeah, that's their best album.
Yeah, no, I was blown away by it.
Here we go. This is Alien Lip Reading.
Once again, total Minas Tirith vibes.
Oh yeah. You keep yeah. I
It
you
just
keep going there and
it
yeah.
just keeps getting there for me.
We've talked about a Minas Tirith episode, and surely that's coming. I mean, sir, it helps that it's got its foot in the door being Norwegian,
Yes.
and then everything else. Yeah, that's a good one. We'll have to add that to
But
the list.
that sort of like understated vocal, but catchy and melodic and I don't know. It just keeps kind of hitting that mark for me.
The vocals definitely melancholy. Dimitri is melancholy and beautiful and has interesting melodic choices attached to it. And I think that Minas Tirith is the same way. Speaking of vocals, man, the next song that we're going to play from Eden in Reverse is a song called Crossroads. And this features Lars Nedlund of Solofald, no less. If you look him up, he's done a lot of great guest spots beyond Solofald and his main pursuits. I mean, Andy Winter, Carpathian Forest, Funeral, gosh, what else? Rotting Christ, Vinnersorg, Winds have used him. This is Crossroads.
Crossroads. I hear a lot of X-Tol in that one.
How is that a reversal though?
Because X-Tol's a Christian band.
Oh, okay, so philosophically. Okay, yep. Okay,
Philosophical. Hey,
sure.
look, everybody's welcome.
Yeah, no, of course.
It's an open party. But and I think it was the it's probably more of a function of that indigenous Norwegian sense of melody being, introduced into the band.
Sure.
Look, at any rate, it's a fabulous piece of music.
Yeah, you know how you and I have talked about it, doing this like honorary Norwegian bands that aren't actually Norwegian, but that should be considered in that post-black metal Norway thing. I mean, Pathemonium has always been one of those. Psy, I think Hail Spirit Noir have that spirit of all those great weirdo Norwegian bands, and I love that they are fans enough or familiar enough to bring in Lazare, Lars Nedlund, excuse me, from Solofall. I think it's
Exactly.
yeah, it makes a shit ton of sense. I mean, it draws a certain line.
It says, yeah, I think it just confirms our point.
Yeah, it does. We're gonna play one more track from Eden in Reverse, a really brilliant thing called Automata 1980. And we're going to follow that with On the Loose Again from Mannequins. Now, let's talk about Mannequins for a second. Mannequins came out 1 year after Eden in Reverse. It was a very quick follow-up for any band these days, if you're doing, an album a year. Mannequins was some kind of soundtrack for a story Theo Harris had in his mind. The band says, quote, "For that, we used melodies from all our previous albums. We also remixed some of our older songs. And we wrote some new tunes, creating an electropop, disco, sci-fi, horror, synthwave album. It was, of course, a one-off album, but we still consider ourselves a prog band." So that's reassuring and that's cool. But the album left me cold. Like on paper, it seems like a slam dunk for somebody like me, but no, I had no feeling for this. It has interesting references to some of their older works. Like the title Monsters Came from the Sky evokes Cannibal Tribes Came from the Sea. Visitors of Horror sounds like Mountain of Horror. Alien Cell Charging clearly evokes Alien Lip Reading. There's a bonus track, a mannequinized version of Crossroads. Ultimately, the album left me cold. Let's listen to Automata 1980 from Eden in Reverse and a little bit from On the Loose Again from Mannequins. what say you on those, and what say you on the prospects for Fossil Gardens coming out in a couple months?
Automata, completely awesome. There's so much sort of, post Stranger Things and this new fetishism for the soundtracks of John Carpenter, which I love dearly, but it's not saying anything new. It's aping something that's been done before, and they're better than that. Because even when they took all those old influences and digested them, and they came up with something that's truly theirs, and that just sounds like an imitation of something that's better, frankly.
I can't hardly add to that. We need to thank Theo Harris and Jay Damian, the main core of the band, obviously Dimitri on vocals, and whoever else they bring along. We're hoping that Fossil Gardens will be the rightful follow-up to Eden in Reverse. I'm pretty sure it will be. I expect good things. It's been a weird year, 2024. I've been disappointed with a few of my very favorite bands. Now, I don't want to get off on this tangent because we're gonna end this and knock this episode on the head here pretty quick. But the new Judas Priest album sucks. The new Blue Oyster Cult album, if that's even what you call it,
I have heard that is awful.
It's completely terrible. I did not like the second Smile album as much as the first one. That's a Radiohead offshoot, I guess we'll call it. I like it, but I didn't love it. Pearl Jam, same way. This is probably the most disappointing Pearl Jam album in terms of first listens. I haven't gone back for a second one. This has never happened with that band for me. Esan's album, I like. I think it's fine. I think it's good. It's just not one of his very top. And the new Everything Everything album, which I expected to love so much after Raw Data Feel, does not move me as much as their four previous. So I've been disappointed. Everything I wanted those albums to be, they are not. The new Melvins album actually fucking rules. It's way better than I expected. It's one of their best in the last 25 years.
Tarantula
Heart is excellent.
Fucking awesome.
It's great. So what I'm saying is that our next episode, number 113, you and I kind of called an audible. It was going to be on Morning Sign from Sweden. We're going to push that off to 114. But 113 is going to be another new album that's actually really fucking good. And that's the new Thief album, Bleed Memory.
Yeah, it's amazing. It deserves to be trumpeted and analyzed and heard. And we're going to do all that.
We're doing Thief. You just pushed everything aside. You said, screw what you had planned, Wagner. And we're going to do...
Fuck the past. Let's deal with the future.
And let's let the music do the talking. The way we did with the KO.Blasphemy album, where that was a brand new thing. But we're going to hope to bring you a lot of...
Every now and then there's a record that's good enough for that. And this is one of them.
I can't wait. We're going to try to follow it up a little sooner than we did this last one. But thank you for listening. You can find us at radicalresearch.org. Man, we love anyone who listens to us. It's wonderful that you all dig the kind of weird shit that we get into. So thanks a lot. Good night.